You're a real fucking page turner. Written by Standing Fic and read by Painted Pain. Part 1. Jared stoops on his way into the house to pick up an empty bowl by the stairs. A smudged silver spoon clacks against its porcelain edge, and there's a sugary film of milk hardened over the bottom. With a grating squeak of the back door, he's home, deposits the bowl in the kitchen sink and heads for the stairs. His mother is at the dining room table, still in heels and an overcoat, ripping at a stack of mail. He doesn't pause on his way by. "How's school, honey?" "Fine, Mom," he says, already up the stairs and swinging round the anchoring banner post, heading down the hall to his room. "Mom said you have to take me to the mall this weekend," Megan shouts, skidding from her bedroom door into the hallway behind him. "Shut up," Jared says, and closes his bedroom door behind him. The second his backpack is slung into its corner, Jared breathes a sigh of relief. He toes off his sneakers and stretches out over his comforter, burying his face in a pillow musty with dried sweat and sleep. There's a half glass of water on his nightstand that's been there every day for a week, untouched. He rolls to stare at the ceiling. It's 3 o'clock. 8 more hours to kill until he passes out, wakes up, and does it again. Could read for a bit, that would take some time. Shifting his gaze, he lands on the bookcase across from the room, snapped it together last summer as a replacement for the one his grandfather had kitty-cornered in his nursery and christened with Goodnight Moon 17 years ago. Jared remembers staring at the sturdy oak frame stuffed with books with some quiet sensation of pleasure. This one is black. $40 on sale at Walmart, and after 6 months is only half full. Jared feels nothing when he looks at it. He still gets up and skims the spines, carefully considering, letting a fingertip bump along each one. A couple he pulls out and stares at a moment. The Call of the Wild, The Great Gatsby, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. These are replacements too, but in a different way. They tug at the corner of his mouth, forcing a smile. Jared snags The Call of the Wild and skims the end, looking for the bits where Buck comes nose to nose with his new kin. Drawn in, he flips to the beginning, notes the J scrolls in the lower corner of the cover, and starts fresh. He sits cross-legged in front of his bookcase and reads. Jared scrambles out of bed cursing, bare feet hitting the cold floor as he hauls for the bathroom. Megan's in there brushing her hair, but he takes her by both shoulders and forces her out. "I was there first," she shouts, lunging for him. "Shut up," Jared growls, slamming the door on her. "Mom!" Jared pisses, brushes his teeth, and spends 2 minutes shampooing his hair in the sink. He blow-dries it with his fingers and notes when he's done that it looks exactly the same as when he'd woken up. He goes back to his room, throws on a pair of dirty jeans and a clean t-shirt, zips up a black sweatshirt and pulls a hood over his head. He pushes his feet into a pair of black Nikes, grabs his backpack and heads for the stairs. In the kitchen, his mom is making Megan's lunch and his sister is glaring at him over a bowl of Frosted Flakes. Jared pulls a bowl from the cabinet and snags the box from the table. "I wasn't done, Jared," Megan snaps. "Give it back." Jared rolls his eyes. "JT, honey, your father and I are going to be at Chris and Sam's wedding this weekend, so I need you to take Megan to the mall on Saturday to finish her costume for the recital next weekend." "Mom," he argues immediately. "No way." "I wasn't asking," his mom says firmly. "I'll leave $40. That should cover it. Meg, you know what you need, right?" Jared slams the fridge as he puts the milk back, kicks the cereal box back across the table at his sister and says, "Whatever." "Have a good day at school, honey," his mom calls over the yowling hinges of the door. Sitting on the steps of the back porch, Jared eats his cereal, jaw tight, eyes focused on the street. The runner with the red jacket jogs by. The elderly lady with the elderly golden retriever walks by. The white pickup with the yellow tow lights on the roof drives by. And just as he's tipping the bowl to his lips for the last bit of cereal, the blue Subaru with the busted front bumper turns onto a street. Some little twinge gets him sitting up straighter, gets him wiping his mouth with the back of his hand and standing to stretch. Straightening his jacket, Jared heaves his backpack onto his shoulder, places the bowl carefully in the grass, and walks out to the sidewalk to meet it. "Hey," Jensen says, just a silhouette with a faux hawk as Jared slides in and shoves his back between his knees. "Want to stop and get hash browns? I'm starving." "Sure," Jared says, slamming the door. "Brought you on this time." Jared follows Jensen's nod to the cup holsters and sees two glasses of orange juice, murmuring, "Nice." He takes the one that's full and gulps at it while Jensen pulls away from the curb. Finally smiling, Jared settles into the shotgun seat, which is permanently kicked back to the exact length of the spread of his legs. Hasn't budged in almost 3 years. The morning's dark enough to need headlights. They're coming up on November with its short days and blue-black skies. It makes Jared want to turn over in bed, to hibernate, arms wrapped around a pillow for comfort. Instead, he just turns up Jensen's Whiskey Town CD, because the slow country violins and thoughtful finger-picking make him think of driving forever. "Oh, hey," Jensen says suddenly. He reaches one-handed towards the back seat. "I got you something else. It's in the front pocket of my bag." Jared takes up the search when the car's nose starts veering off for a guardrail, pushes Jensen out of the way and hauls up to lean between the two seats, elbows Jensen in the head just to hear the curse, just to feel the punch to his hip. He hauls the dirty black canvas bag toward him, flips up the flap, and sees a book jammed down in the open front pocket. And he wants to swear and smile and roll his eyes and kiss Jensen and not care about this book at all. But he tugs it out, staring at the cover while he readjusts in his seat and pulls his t-shirt back down over his waist. "White Fang." "That's the other one you liked, right?" Jensen says. And it's not a question. "Nabbed it from my grandparents' house this weekend." "Thanks," Jared says. He flips open the cover to see his name written there in the corner. Opens his mouth to say something else, but they're pulling into a McDonald's drive-thru, and Jensen's asking him what he wants. "I'm good," Jared says, flipping to the first page, just to look at the words in the dark. He hears Jensen order 4 hash browns, and 2 of them get dropped hot and steaming and greasy into his lap. Jared can't help the smile he tips to Jensen this time, and Jensen just grins, with his eyes on the road, easing back out into traffic. Soon as they get through the main doors and into brightly lit halls of Easterburncote High, Jared finds himself staring openly at Jensen. "Holy fuck," he swears, "I didn't even notice." Jensen's got an eyebrow arched at him until Jared reaches out and traces his fingertips over the dark, moody blue laced into his tightly cropped hair. Jensen immediately bats him away, rolling his eyes and ducking his face. "Get out of here," Jensen says, glaring at him. "Every time, man, it's like you've never seen it. You touch it like it's gonna turn back." Jared drops a hallway door on him, and Jensen swears. But when Jared looks over his shoulder to give a shit-eating smile, Jensen's ears are lit neon red, and the flush is halfway down his neck. Jared carefully says nothing and keeps his smile secret. By the time they reach their lockers, and Jensen's fumbling Jared's combination every single time he's a number away from clicking it open, Jared can't stomp down the hum in his chest. Jensen's putting himself into hysterics, and Jared shoves at him in frustration. They fight and elbow and kick over Jared's locker until the assistant principal hollers at them to keep it down. Jensen's already got an armful of bucks, says with a smirk, "Waiting on you, sweetheart." Jared narrows his eyes at him sourly and keeps vigilant while opening his combination. Jensen doesn't intervene. Jared swings the last number, breathes out, and lifts the latch. Jensen, lightning fast, hauls up a palm and slams the locker shut in Jared's face, laughing uncontrollably as he darts down the hallway before Jared can turn on him. Jared half-heartedly shouts after him, but he's laughing. Lies his forehead against his locker for a moment to catch his breath. When he reaches for the combination a final time, he sees how hard his fingers are trembling. 15-minute classes press his mind further and further towards some empty shell of a thought that loops repetitively, asking when it all ends. He blows through a stats exam, writes 2 responses on the first half of the Once and Future King, flips uncomfortably past grainy grayscale photos of Nagasaki in his history book, and sleeps through the second half of his journalism meeting. Chad Murray gives him a flat tire at his locker between classes, laughs, and tells him not to bitch out on the party at Kane's next weekend. Sandy passes him a note that just says, "You look good in those jeans." They're the same things he did yesterday, and the same things he'll do tomorrow. Privately, Jared questions high school on a very deep, dark, cerebral level. Lunch finds him on an empty field bleachers with a bag of baked Lay's in his lap and a bottle of Coke at his hip, reading White Fang while Jensen talks to Kyle, who is in Jensen's studio art class and has feelings for both Jensen and manga. Everything is fine until Kyle touches Jensen's hair, and Jensen laughs and tilts his head and turns it into a kiss. Jared finishes the page, crunches on a chip, washes it down with soda. He draws in the most even breath he can manage. It's several minutes before Kyle's heading back inside, rubbing arms against the chill and nodding to Jensen awkwardly, hopefully. Jensen watches him walk away, smirking and thumbing the corner of his lip, and then climbs back up to the bleachers to sink down next to Jared. He pulls the book out of Jared's hands and throws it off the bleachers. It lands neatly in the grass, not a page out of order, waiting for them as soon as they make the trek back inside. "Not that I'm not happy for you making it with Kyle the art stud," Jared says. "But if you're gonna third wheel me, can you tell me in advance so I can decide not to be here?" "Quit being jealous," Jensen grins, bumping his knee into Jared's. You ever gonna tell your mom she ain't getting grandbabies? Jensen laughs, shaking his head and looking out over the field. Then he's silent for so long that the response, half a joke, becomes half an argument in the quiet. Now, why would I go and do a dumb thing like that? Ruin all my fun. It might not be bad, Jared says, hesitating. Just never knew you to be anything but honest. It'll be plenty bad, believe me. I'm not being dishonest. There's no reason to be telling her. I ain't gonna be bringing home Kyle the art stud anytime soon. Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Nothing. Taking Megan shopping. My parents are in Houston for the weekend. Awesome, Jensen says. We're having a bonfire somewhere. Maybe Chad's. You want to talk to Chad? I'll talk to Chad. No, you talk to Chad. He likes you better. I ratted him out on the whole plagiarism thing last year. Shit, I'm freezing. Let's go inside, nerd. Get this fucking day over with. Jensen drops him off after school, says, see you tomorrow, and waves in his rear view as he pulls away. Jared waves back and then crosses his yard, stoops to pick up the bowl in the grass and leaves it in the sink before going upstairs. It's 3 o'clock. 8 hours to kill. Jared pulls his book out of his backpack and flops down on the bed. Turns on his lamp to find the bulb's burnt out. Feels the grit of his teeth and the narrowing of his eyes, the burn of lines forming on his forehead. He launches the book across the room and lies there, breathless with anger. He pushes a palm over the front of his jeans, hisses, growls, and covers his face with his own pillow. Makes a fist in one hand and pulls his zipper down with the other. This'll kill off 5 minutes. It's not uncommon for Jared to hate Jensen because they fight something fierce. Jared once spent an entire weekend blowing all his money on Pearl Jam tickets and sleeping in the mud when he could have been at Chad's family's beach house. He and Jensen didn't talk for a week because Jensen had failed to mention first that it was a 3-day festival and second that there were no working toilets. Then there was the party at Kane's last year. When Jensen had seen Jared eyeing Danielle Harris and slipped into a bathroom with her while Jared went to get another round, Jared caught him coming out of the bathroom with a smug smile on his face, asked him out to the backyard. Jensen got a punch in the face and Jared walked home alone. Jensen showed up at his house for 2 weeks before Jared finally relented and got in the car. But the worst was 2 months ago. Jensen disappeared for 3 days without telling anyone. Jared called everyone they knew, left Jensen a spectrum of messages that went from harmlessly curious to that fine line of hysteria between fury and terror. 16 total. Jensen never responded. He showed up at their lockers on Tuesday morning, bleary-eyed and smiling gamely, telling Jared he had to hear about his killer weekend. Who the fuck do you think you are? Jared had growled and left him standing there in the hallway. Jensen had welled up during the conversation it took to fix them after that. At 17, there wasn't a whole lot Jared took seriously, but his friendship with Jensen was one of them. Slapped together on a science project freshman year, something about those 2 Sundays kept Jensen coming back even after they'd presented an experiment on the chemical properties of yeast. They watched cartoons, snuck onto Howe's Park Beach, passed a milestone or two together, and just stuck. So Jensen had to know he couldn't just up and vanish on Jared, that it wasn't okay, that somehow Jensen had become his best stupid friend, and therefore had a fucking responsibility to Jared. And if he didn't want that responsibility, Jared needed to know right fucking now. Jensen had nodded and accepted it, held it, hugged Jared and whispered, "I'm sorry, man." In that moment, Jared had never felt more relief in his life. Hadn't realized he was giving Jensen the all-or-nothing speech until it was all out, and they both could feel the terrifying truth of it. Jensen, recognizing the need for those truths to be established, gave Jared a burning, unquenchable love for him. They're really stuck together now. They get to hold each other accountable now. For his part in their train wreck of a friendship, Jensen has always taken Jared's anger in stride. He keeps honest, admits his wrongs, and apologizes. And he never misses the important things. He picks up tickets to Wilco whenever they're in town. We'll just hand them to Jared and say, "Hope you're not doing anything next weekend." He always lets Jared pick where they eat, though it's gotten to where Jensen just knows what Jared wants and drives him there. He snags books. He knows Jared lost in their basement flooded last fall, ruining their family room, his grandfather's bookcase, and everything in it. Johnny Tremaine, Life on Mississippi, Naked Lunch, a Jim Morrison biography. The first time was a separate piece, and Jared hadn't quite gotten it. Jensen had gone from confident to shoulder-hunched and awkward, shrugging, "Only because I just read it for class. It's not a big deal. Just, you always got your goddamn nose in a book, and they're all gone now. So, I mean, if you want it." Now, Jared's heart pounds uncontrollably every time Jensen hands him a book. He's single-handedly rebuilding something important for Jared. And Jared can't help how that makes him feel. On Saturday morning, Jared's parents wake him up at 9 to leave him money and give ground rules for the weekend. Jared doesn't get out of bed, just murmurs, "Yeah, okay," until they stop talking and falls asleep again. At 11, Megan wakes him up, and after torturing her with monkey bites and noogies and holding her upside down with her face over the toilet, he puts her down and hugs her and makes her pancakes. Jared argues for Batman Beyond until he legitimately gets angry, then relents and puts in a little princess. They watch a little girl tell stories of India, and Jared lets Megan put tiny braids in his hair when he finishes her cold, half-eaten breakfast. "She right, Jared?" Megan asks. "Are all girls princesses?" "Yeah, except you. You're a total Yeti monster." "I'm kidding. Ow! Ow! Stop pulling!" "I only got one sister, girl, and of course she's a princess. Center of my universe. Prettiest in the land." Jensen walks into the living room then, grinning wide when he sees the complete domination Megan has over her brother. "What in the world do we have here?" he asks. "Morning, Mego." "Jared tried to drop me in the toilet," Megan says, diligently braiding. "What are you doing here?" Jared asks. "No, he didn't," Jared says. "Did you really? You're an awful brother, Jared Padalecki." "I wasn't going to drop her. Meg, seriously, all right, enough with the braiding." "Oh, now that your boyfriend's here," she says. Jared's shoulders go tight, and the heat in his cheeks makes him absolutely hate himself. With every conscious part of him, he ducks out of her hold and waves off her prying hands. Instead, he hides his face in grabbing their plates and orange juice glasses. "Yeah, hilarious. Listen, do you want to go to the mall or not?" he threatens. When he finally climbs to his feet and looks to the kitchen, Jensen's just standing there, stupid blue hair, arms crossed over his chest with a shoulder propped against the door jamb. Jared makes an effort to look right at him, daring him to say anything. Jensen just smiles and makes way for Jared to enter the kitchen, moving to the couch to sit with Megan. At the mall, Jensen runs into Curtis and disappears for half an hour. Jared lets Megan lead him from store to store. He puts down money when told, and women smile over their cash registers at him. Such a sweet boy, one woman says. He tried to drop me in the toilet this morning, Megan says. Jared smiles tightly at the new air of distrust from the cashier and drags his sisters away. He hates to admit that the little shit is winning the war. He'll probably never do that again. Jensen wanders over to them while they're in the food court, where they've got white Mary Janes, a blue headband, a striped blue skirt, and two sleeves of French fries. Megan eats half of them and then focuses on taking her headband out of its cardboard wrapping. Jared offers Jensen some fries, but can't look at him. A quick glance has given him plenty of detail. Muzzy gaze, swollen red mouth, and a faint purple mark tucked right at the collar of his t-shirt. Jared absolutely cannot care about that. He will care about it far less if he doesn't stare at it and ruminate. Instead, he's quiet while Megan lets Jensen poke through her bags, try on her headband, and tickle her within an inch of her sanity. Jared cracks a smile, can't help it, and asks, "Think we're ready to go?" "Sure, I'm done," Jensen grins. Jared feels his throat work, humor dropping as he hears some unintended innuendo, nods resolutely, and gathers up Megan's bags for her. Megan stares up at him and for a moment looks between the two carefully. In the end, Jared doesn't know if it was the movie or the pancakes or the immense lip service, but she pulls her headband off Jensen's head, slides from her seat, and comes to stand next to Jared, leaning into his hip. Surprised, Jared slides an arm around her, squeezing briefly and saying softly, "Come on, princess, let's go home and make some mac and cheese." Jensen watches them for a moment, smile fading into something like contrition before he nods towards the exit and leads the way. Jared makes sure Megan is safe at Colleen's for a sleepover before walking to Chad's for the bonfire. He doesn't particularly want to go, moving slow, trailing fingers down diamond shapes and chain-link fences and tearing maple leaves from the low branches above him. He's got the Once and Future King paper due on Monday, and he's tired, and he's just annoyed for some reason. There is a baseline hum beneath his thoughts that's making his jaw shift with irritation. Earlier, Jensen had said he couldn't pick Jared up because he was letting his friend Hodge use a Subaru, but Jared's got this funny feeling Jensen and Curtis had a round two planned for today, and now he's stuck walking, and walking is annoying. By the time he's cutting through Chad's front yard and ducking through the weathered wooden gate in the back, Jared decides he'll stay 2 hours, tops, and then head back home. No sense in hanging round doing nothing all night, same as every other weekend, when he'll have the chance to do it again next Saturday at Kane's party. Fire is high and warm when he gets there. Nobody moves. Chad greets him, presses a cold beer into his palm. Every time he cracks one, Jared thinks, "We're too young for this." But he does it anyway, because it feels good going down. He slaps a few shoulders, moving around the group to find a seat, and realizes Jensen's already there. Jared drinks from his bottle. It takes everything he has not to react. "Hey, Jay," Jensen smiles easily. Jared thinks he's about to offer up the seat next to him, but Jared slides into the one next to Steve and stops the words in their tracks. He drinks again and looks around casually, and he probably looks terribly bored, because he is. He has no interest in knowing what Jensen smells like right now. It gets better. Steve is a funny motherfucker, and he and Chad riff endlessly, barking insults at each other and wrestling so close to the fire that Jared jumps up and yanks Steve still with a fist in his hair, causing both of them to freeze and go predatory on Jared. He backs away carefully but ends up at the bottom of a dog pile, ribs squeezed under Steve's broad chest, huffing painfully when Steve laughs, stilted and broken, trying to breathe through the weight of Chad, Chris, and then finally Jensen, leaning over on top like an afterthought. They sit around drinking in easy quiet, talking shit about guys at school, running their fingers through the flames, carving letters into the air with glowing embers. They get bored and start burning plastic and bottle caps, and then an oily rag from the back of Chris's truck that turns the flames an impressive blue-green. The air smells filthy. Jared should have left already, but instead he's grinning at Chris like this is the funniest thing he's seen all week. It gets silly again when Chris moves to sit back down and Chad yanks his pants around his ankles to the dismay of everyone. Shouts, caterwauls, eye-covering. Chris bows ass up before yanking his pants around his hips and collapsing back down. From there it's, show us your ass and punch him in the balls and kiss him. Jared freezes, laughter dying in his throat. Chris is grinning at Jensen and nodding to Jared, and no one says anything. Jared looks around because he's trying to look at anyone but Jensen. Steve is staring at them, an eyebrow raised, and Chad is looking at Jared, worried, silently sympathizing with him. Jared couldn't move right now if it were a direct order. Jensen, however, gets up like he's been waiting for it, firelight catching the green burn in his eyes as he moves, cocky grin dropping slightly as he comes to stand over Jared. No, Jared mouths desperately, pushing himself back into the canvas of his chair. And that makes a curl of a smile whisper back to Jensen's mouth, because he nods and says softly, oh yes, sweetheart. Then he runs fingers up the back of Jared's neck and into his hair, holding him still with a steady grip and dragging Jared's mouth up to his. Jensen's lips feel like he's been licking flames, searing into Jared, shocking him through with the heat. Their lips are dry and catch until Jensen licks at Jared's lower lip in a silky gesture of affection. Then it's wet and slides, and something tightens so hard and painful in Jared's chest he thinks he might burst. They kiss for the first time just like that. Jared pulled awkwardly in the chair, straining painfully, right in front of their friends like a big fucking joke. And on top of that, all Jared can think of is what number kiss this is for Jensen today. Because it happens to be Jared's first. Ever. Jared pulls away and turns his face, feeling Jensen sway into him, hovering breathless for a moment right at his ear. Jared squeezes his eyes closed and doesn't move. And for a long, terrified moment, he thinks Jensen's just going to stay here, mashed up against him and making Jared tremble with the warm breaths he's brushing over Jared's neck. He finally moves, back to a seat with a theatrical smile and an eyebrow raised in a challenge that says, go ahead, try and get me to bitch out on something else. Chris is laughing, clapping Jared on the back, looks at Jensen and says, way to pop his cherry, man. Jared pales. He shoves Chris' hand off and grits out, shut up, Kane. At the same time, Jensen's smile is falling off his face like weighted by a brick and he's asking, what? Chris stops laughing, looking at Jared in wonder, and he opens his mouth to say something, probably he didn't know, but Jared drops his eyes to the dirt and presses his mouth in a thin line. This has just become the worst night of his life. He tries to think of how to get out of here without looking like an asshole, but there really isn't one. He sits tight a few minutes, letting the awkward moment pass and wanting to hug Chad for picking up a thread of conversation from an hour ago. But all he hears is the relentless screaming in his mind telling him to get out. In the back of his mind, he also feels the pressure of Jensen's eyes on him, his silence so conspicuous, and Jared can't even breathe through his humiliation and anger. Jared makes it half an hour, mind baying like a dying animal and fingers trembling and stomach lurching, before he says lamely, I'm going to take off, guys. Got a paper to write. No one argues with him. He gets cuffs at his head and shoulders, and Steve gives him a quick one-armed hug, murmuring, "Call me, man." And then Jensen rises to his feet and says, "I'll drive you home. I can walk," Jared says quickly. "I know you can walk, you idiot." Jared shrugs and curls his fingers up into his palms, makes for the street without saying anything, and wants to run when he hears Jensen falling into step behind him. He's pulling open the gate when he hears Steve bark at Chris, "Nice one, you fucking jackass!" He knows Jensen heard it too, but neither of them says anything. He walks right by the Subaru, even while Jensen's rounding around to the driver's side. "Jared! I said I can walk," Jared grits out, and doesn't turn around. He hasn't made eye contact with Jensen since the last begging request of no Jensen had blown through like a tornado. "Then I'll walk you home." "Stop, Jensen. Just stop, okay? Just stay here, man, and party. I'm fine." "I don't want to. Dude, you can't even look at me. If I fucked up again, I want to know about it before you go home and decide to never talk to me again." Jared grits his teeth, and he's so angry and tight and unfocused, he wants to come apart. Jensen's standing there, ready and firm, and Jared feels a furious light in his eyes and wants to hit Jensen for the first time since meeting him. "Don't even fucking start. What were you thinking, Jen, huh? You decide it's cool to just mack on me in front of everybody? Maybe that shit isn't a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to me, okay? I don't just fucking make out with every guy I meet." "So that's what I do then," Jensen says low and sharp. "That's when you think of me?" "Oh, don't be an idiot. I know you're better than that. And that's my whole fucking point, man. What are you doing? You don't even care and now you're messing with me?" Jared's breathing hard and winded, and he's amazed the truth hasn't come spilling out in his unchecked anger. Finally, he chances a look to Jensen and sees some quiet hesitation there. Something between hurt and confused. Not enough to concern Jared, but plenty to pique his interest. "I don't know," Jensen says finally. "Never really thought about it." Jared sighs. "Well, look, I didn't mean to sound like I'm passing judgment. Do whatever you want. Just don't be kissing me around the fucking bonfire under Chad's parents' bedroom window, all right? I'm going home." "They're easier than you," Jensen says, rushed, the words hitting against the back of Jared's neck and making nerves skitter. "That's why. Kyle's not giving me shit about anything. You flip out on me like this all the fucking time and makes me nuts. I never know what you want me to do. I get all fucking twisted up and scared and, like, pissed." "I'm not arguing with you," Jared says quietly. "I'm not asking anything. Just, seriously, Jensen, whatever." "See, man, this is what I'm talking about. You act like you don't care, and I know you care. I know you're freaking out about whatever it is you fucking freak out about, and I don't know what you want me to do about it." Jared swallows. And there's an answer, but he can't say it. He can't say, "Be it for me. Just pick me over everyone." He can't ask that of Jensen, because if Jensen can't give it, Jared doesn't know what he'll do. So he steels his nerves and faces Jensen and says, "Just don't ever do that again. Don't ever fucking try to kiss me again." "I didn't know it was like, you know, your first one. I thought, I mean, at least you and Sandy had." Jared clenches his fists, wants to scream, wants to run home, just wants this conversation to end already. He tries to keep calm and shrugs. Wasn't really like that. "And man, how did Chris know that shit before me?" Another question Jared can't answer. The only thing he could say truthfully is, "Because you're the only one who doesn't see it." He says, "I don't know," and looks down the sidewalk, hoping Jensen will just get it and leave him alone and let him leave. Jensen just stands there, nothing more to say, fidgeting, unmoving. He looks on edge, cut, unsatisfied and unhappy. His mouth works moodily, ruminating over their conversation, trying to think of something to say. "Just go back in," Jared says. "It's not a big deal, okay? I'm just fucking tired. I don't even really care. Not really. I'm just being a dick." "You're not," Jensen says firmly. "Let's just go watch Texas Chainsaw or play Zelda or something. Let's just get out of here. This whole fucking night is turning into, I don't even know. I'm over it. I'm sorry, okay? Seriously." "I know, and dude, I seriously am going to write that paper, so if you're coming, it's gonna be a whole lot of nothing." Jensen laughs. "When has that stopped me?" The longer Jensen just sits there, staring at the bent spines making crooked sideways stares in his bookcase, the bigger Jared's heart beats. He buries himself in his paper, flipping to folded pages and skimming penciled underlines, writes a few optimistic thoughts on the hero's journey, and then chews the cap of his pen while obsessing over Jensen, silent, interested, choosing to just be here. Not back at the bonfire, not needing to be entertained, content to just share Jared's space. He doesn't say anything until Jared finishes his draft, shoving his work into the book and tucking it all into his backpack. Jensen stretched out on the floor, flipping through a Wilco biography, looking up when Jared yawns. "You done already?" he asks.
"Mostly."
"Good enough. I can't think anymore. You want to watch something or get something to eat?" "Shit, what time is it? I feel like that took forever." "It's only like 2. You whiz through that, brain trust." Jared pulls his socks off and throws him into a corner for stretching out on his bed and humming some pleased note. He's warm, tired, comfortable, and the glow of Jensen's attention laps sweetly against him. These are his favorite times. This is how he wants to feel always. This, right here. "You can hang out, but I might not be awake much longer," Jared murmurs. "Just make sure the door's locked." "It's all right," Jared says quietly. The silence and the stillness stretches. Jared sighs into it, shifts comfortably to one hip and closes his eyes. There he drifts, circling deeper and deeper towards sleep, full of trust and of something being repaired tonight fast as it was broken. He's happy. Jensen always does the right thing. He's just touched a breath against sleep when he hears Jensen pull himself up from the floor, cracks an eye when he sits down on the bed back to Jared, staring at his hands tucked into his lap. Jared tries to say something, but it comes out as a quiet, questioning hum that has Jensen cocking an ear toward him and smiling slightly. It drops away when he says, "I keep thinking about you never kissed anybody before, and I fucked it up. I feel like a complete asshole." "Dude," Jared begs, turning his face away, "please don't, just leave it alone. It's fine, stop worrying about it. It's just, that's supposed to be important, you know? That's a big one, and it's supposed to mean something. Even if it sucked, and there was too much tongue, and neither of you knew what you were doing, and you never wanted to do it again when it was over. It's supposed to be something you can tell people about. You can't tell anybody about that. My friends made me kiss my best friend, and they laughed at me for it. You can't tell your kids that. Seriously, Jensen, drop it." Jared's feeling it come back, a burning, angry drop in his stomach. And Jensen's right. He was robbed of something tonight. He can forgive Jensen easy as breathing, but the moment can't be undone. Jared feels like an idiot for caring. Jensen shifts the hip, hitches a knee up onto the bed, and moves over to lean over Jared, planting a palm by his shoulder. Jared tenses so tight he feels like he's on fire, a terrified heat inhaling strength and setting the rest of him trembling to escape. He looks up at Jensen, and Jensen is so close, eyes dark and serious, glittering in how intensely they study him. The intimacy makes Jared's skin crawl, makes his thighs flex, makes his fingers dig at the comforter. This is the second time tonight he's felt so absolutely trapped. "I want to do better," Jensen murmurs. "Please don't say no." For a second, Jared is so in love, it hurts. There have been other versions of it, but this kiss with Jensen is going to beat them all because it's going to be real. Here, warm, head ducked against his own brutal honesty. The moment lengthens as Jared mentally faces the music. This won't mean half as much to Jensen as it does to him, and that is enough to bring burning tears to the backs of his eyes. This is what Jensen does. He kisses people. And it can't be that way. The only response Jared can think of is, "Please don't. It can't be you. It has to be someone else." He can't make himself say it. Can't make himself move. There is a moment that's been in his mind, and it is now a real thing. And he wants it so badly and so irrevocably that he can't turn away. For better or worse, his second first kiss is going to be Jensen Ackles. Giving in to the uncontrollable urge, he finally lets his gaze fall to Jensen's mouth. It's something he's wanted to look at for years and has never allowed himself to. Has always averted his eyes, never watched him kiss anyone else, never watched him eat, never looked anywhere else but Jensen's gaze when they talked, or laughed, or shared a glance over Chad's head. Now, licked, damp, and slightly parted, Jensen's mouth makes Jared's heart pound ferociously. When he finds Jensen's eyes again, Jensen smiles achingly bright, leaning closer, waiting for Jared's permission. Closing his eyes against every bit of screeching protest, he tilts his chin up and catches Jensen. It is good. Jared's terrified, trembling so hard he's sure Jensen can feel it. But it's the second time around, and Jensen's not asking much. Seems content with slow brushes and touching. So Jared can do this. He waits for Jensen to stop, and Jensen doesn't stop. After the first kiss breaks, he kisses again, mouthing softly, coaxing Jared's lips to move with his, tilts his head and pushes in to cover the territory Jared gives up. Jensen sighs against him when they part again, and it is this beautiful, satisfied, achingly right thing. And he doesn't move, doesn't give Jared an inch, and he kisses Jared again. It feels so good. Jared wants to scream and buck out of his body, wants to grab Jensen and press every inch of them together, wants suddenly and fiercely for this hot pulse in his groin to be going somewhere. He's never been with someone like this before. Jensen lets his lips drag painfully slow, drawing out these moments of connection, so fucking perfect that Jared hums his surprise out, this long, slow kiss tripping over the sound, and Jensen kisses it out of his mouth with some force. And that's when Jensen's tongue licks at him and electrifies every last nerve in Jared. He hitches a harsh breath against it, and Jensen pauses against him, lingering, questioning, waiting for Jared to shove him away. Jared touches the edge of his tongue to Jensen's, completely rigid except for the trembling hand he lifts to grip Jensen's shoulder. "Oh, fuck," Jensen groans helplessly against Jared's mouth and kisses him so hard Jared arcs up against it. His toes are curling, knees pulling up for leverage, and he fights to control his body even as his arms circle Jensen's neck and his mouth opens, letting Jensen lick in and suck at his bottom lip and edge his teeth against it with delicious pressure. Jensen falls against him, gives up on holding himself on one arm and drops himself roughly down over Jared's chest. For a moment, the rise and fall of Jensen's ribs against his own brings more comfort than arousal. But then the two bleed into some rich, intoxicating pulse that has Jared's hand sliding low over Jensen's back and pressing them together. It suddenly occurs to Jared that this is not kissing. He and Jensen are making out, fierce, hot, and hungry on his bed. Jared's heart pounds and he fucking aches with desire that is bone deep and sick of being hidden away. When they break away again, he feels Jensen's hand cupping his jaw, feels the other digging into his hair and then moving up to brush his fingers against Jared's hairline. He tilts up toward it absently, feels victory when Jensen chuckles breathlessly against him and brushes knuckles down the side of Jared's face. Jared opens his eyes, dazed, and stares at Jensen, who looks happy and hungry and sated all at once. "Not sure I can tell the kids about that one either," Jared breathes, and grins when Jensen laughs openly, shaking his head. "Might have to play it down a little," Jensen agrees. "I didn't mean for it to get all..." "Well, that was good though, right? Better?"
"Yeah, it was good. Better."
"Good," Jensen murmurs, smiling softly. For a second, Jared can feel that it's going to happen again, that they're pulling each other in, and Jensen's going to lean in and kiss him, and he's going to feel that aching, brutal, devastating throb of need pulse through him all over again. But Jensen blinks out of it, catching himself, and levers up off Jared to create distance. Jared forces out disappointment, and ignores the way the loss of Jensen's body heat makes him want to curl in on himself. It wasn't going to last forever. There was going to be an end, and this is it. Jared knew what it was going to feel like, and now he has to deal with it.
"So, I'm gonna go, probably," Jensen says. "You're all... You don't have to walk me out. You're all tired in like 4 seconds from being asleep. I'll see you Monday morning, though, okay?"
Jared nods and says goodnight and smiles when Jensen awkwardly waves before leaving his bedroom. He listens to Jensen's footsteps all the way down the stairs, waiting for the back door to open and close. Then he puts trembling hands over his face and breathes. After a second, he parts his lips, just to feel the drag of his rough palms against them. On Monday morning, Jared wakes with a buzz of anticipation his alarm clock can't drown out. He slaps it off and turns his back to stare at the ceiling in the dark. He feels that twinge of morning arousal and lets it simmer, thinking on it, encouraging it, pulling his thighs tight, touching his chest beneath his t-shirt. He closes his eyes, bites his lips, feels what he wants to feel. It's quick once he starts. He's fast-paced and blows through it, the weight of Jensen's body pressing him down, those dragging, endless kisses and the suffocating throb in his groin that came with them, the way he wanted to rock against Jensen until he exploded, grinding against him until he spit Jared's name like a breathless curse, wanting no one and nothing else. He comes, shoving brutally into his own fist, ass off the bed, breath held still and twisted in his chest, teeth gritted against a groan, while his orgasm rips through him in a hot, dizzying wave. He comes down thinking he wants Jensen so fucking much, he'd die for it. For a moment, he's okay with it, because every time he thinks about Saturday night, all he remembers is this incredible feeling of maybe. It had been so magnetic, and Jensen's face had been so soft, that there's a sliver of Jared willing to believe there may be something real between them. For the moment, he'll believe it and hang on. Jared grins when he shoves Megan out of the bathroom, fluffs up the hair she'd been carefully brushing, and slams the door behind him.
I love you too, he yells over her screaming, and turns on the water. Downstairs, aside from Megan's requisite tattling, there is a peace in the kitchen while Jared pours his cereal, and his mom is pleasantly surprised when he remembers to give her a kiss on the way out. His grin is out of control when Jensen pulls up and he punches it down to a smirk, climbing in and gnawing the inside of his cheek to keep himself together. When Jared's settled, they're not moving, so he looks at Jensen with a question already formed in his mouth. Jensen flips on the interior light and says, "It's red. Save you the surprise." Jared studies it, nodding his approval. He's about to say it looks good when something catches his eye. He grabs Jensen's face and pushes it to the side, craning to see. And he was right. A tiny silver stud tucked against his eyebrow. "What the fuck is that?" Jared says, smiling growing as he thumbs it lightly. "Dude, weren't you making fun of these, like, yesterday? I thought they were only for wannabes." "Suck it, Padalecki," Jensen says, and ducks out of Jared's hole to swat at him. "Quit making shit up. Don't touch it, that shit still hurts. You want to stop at Mickey D's?" "Nah, I'm good," Jared says, grinning. But Jensen stops anyway. Jared plows through his day, energized, handing in his essay, slam dunking two exams, finishing his journalism piece on the cheerleader's fashion show fundraiser, and skipping his history class to drive with Chan to the record shop down the street. They listen to geeky Genesis songs and sing Invisible Touch all the way back to campus for lunch. "So, what ended up happening on Saturday?" Chad asks. Jared shrugs to cover the bolt of arousal at just the mention of that night. "Nothing." He apologized, "no big." There's a long stretch of silence before Chad says, "Dude, if you could see how red you are right now, shut up." "Listen, I know you don't need to hear it from me, but you're going to fucking hear it from me. Be careful with that guy, Jay. I know you guys are close, but..." Jared grits his teeth, anger rushing up to hide his humiliation. "Chad, I really don't have any fucking interest in talking about this. I can take care of my fucking self, all right? I am not an idiot." "Hey, I didn't say you were. Chill out, seriously." "But man, I know you're carrying a fucking torch for that guy, and Jensen, well, Jensen's gonna be Jensen, dude." "Awesome," Jared says tightly. "Thanks, Chad." Chad frowns, and as they walk up to the cafeteria, Jared notes they both turned sour. He's so mad he could punch Chad. Doesn't even want to share the sidewalk right now. The truth being mused over in his own mind is one thing, but in the daylight, out loud from a good friend, makes it so real that Jared's stomach sloshes. He hates thinking of Jensen right now, loving and hating him in equal turns. He tries to block it out, to think of food and nothing else. He gets in line for a roast beef sandwich, and Chad breaks away without a word, spotting Chris and Steve and moving to sit with them. Jared tries not to notice, but every time he looks up, the three of them are talking, and one of them is looking right at him. No way is he walking into that intervention. He already plans on heading downstairs to the senior open campus soon as he gets his lunch. Jared jumps when he hears it low and dark in his ear. "What you getting me?" He turns and knuckle punches at Jensen's shoulder, calls him a dick, and dodges a return shot aimed for his kidney. Nerves rattled, he feels his breathing go threadbare and wills himself to move past it while Jensen settles into the line beside him. "How's it going?" Jensen asks. "Fine. Good, actually," Jared says. "You?" "Two substitutes and a cancel calculus test. Today is awesome." Jared grins so hard his face hurts, and he doesn't look at Jensen, concentrating on throwing a tray together and paying for it. Soon as they're set, Jensen's heading for their friends, and Jared hesitates, trying to think of any excuse that won't come out as awkward or suspicious. In the end, Chad looks up and catches him, so he bites the bullet and follows Jensen to the table. Nice hair, douche, Chris says once they're seated. Are we going for Bozo this week? Ginger, Steve grins. Just go all the way down. Did you really commit to the lock this time, Jen? Jensen rolls his eyes, and it seems almost instinctive that he shoots a private, amused look to Jared. Jared does his best to return it, because he likes what it means. They don't get it, and you do. But feels tense because he's pretty sure the rest of the guys caught it. They never catch stuff like that. But right now they happen to be looking for it. Jared busies himself with layering mustard all over his sandwich. Gross, Jensen says, watching, and swipes at Jared's pickle. Can I have this? I'm taking this. And Jared gives an obligatory curse, but he wants to press a hand over Jensen's mouth and beg him to shut up, shut the fuck up, because Jared is so unbearably aware of the fact that this right here is a Jared and Jensen show, with their friends all studying them carefully. Jensen is blissfully ignorant, shoving the entirety of Jared's pickle in his mouth and grinning, says with a full mouth, "You love it." And Jared is so humiliated, he wants to die. You guys coming over on Friday? Chris asks. Jared is horrified when he opens his mouth to answer, "Obviously, idiot," and he catches Jensen's gaze. He has to stop. Jensen's looking at him with a question in his eyes, like he's asking Jared if they're going. Like he is asking if Jared wants to go. Like if Jared doesn't want to go, they'll do something else. Spooked, Jared sticks him with a dubious, "What is wrong with you?" stare, and Jensen blinks. "Probably," Jensen says, going back to his lunch. "Thought you'd pretty much figure us to," Jared adds, not afraid to raise his stare in a challenge to Chris. "Didn't you have to watch your sister this weekend?" Chad asks Jared. There's a tone to his voice that makes Jared bristle. Before he can answer, Jensen does it for him. Stuffing his face and then washing down with a swig of Coke, he says, "That was last weekend." Chad stares openly at Jared, as if Jared's done something irreconcilable. "Mark's gonna be there," Chad says, talking to Jensen and looking at Jared. "Yeah?" Jensen says, and the tone of his voice, the way he looks up with that interested light in his eyes, makes Jared free fall right back into a wordless, immobile rage. He eats in silence, wanting to murder Chad for the details he then tries to drill out of Jensen, who agrees, "Yeah, I know him. Yeah, we've hung out a few times. Yeah, maybe I'll see him there." By the time they pick up their table to head back to class, Jared's trembling with restraint. He bites his lip, willing himself to stay out of the conversation. Jensen wouldn't. Not after last weekend. He absolutely wouldn't. He has to trust that. When Steve throws an arm around his shoulder, Jared sags into it, unashamed. Steve scrubs up his hair into an affectionate mess and lends his weight to pushing Jared towards his locker. Just before Jared slips free, Steve ducks close to Jared and says, "He wouldn't, man." Relief drowns logic, and Steve throws his arms around Steve and tells him he's the best motherfucking friend a guy can ask for. He ignores the cooing and the "ain't that sweet" he hears behind him. Steve laughs and slaps his back, holding on tight and then shoving him away. Predictably, Jensen catches him, grins playfully as he asks, "What's that make me?" "Late for dinner," Jared bitches, trying to pull himself out of the hold, already tipping back toward choppy feelings of discomfort. "Quit staking your claim on Padalecki, you selfish shitbag," Steve laughs. But there's a tinge to it that definitely speaks to Jensen, because he lets go immediately, shoving a little and turning to his locker. Jared shoots Steve a grateful look and waves the guys off as they head down the hallway in a tight-knit pack, turns to his locker and guards against an attack from Jensen with the wing of one elbow. It doesn't come.
Serving a quick glance to the side, he sees Jensen knelt on the floor, concentrating on gathering his box from the bottom of his locker. Jensen smirks to himself, but it's off, and he doesn't look up when he asks, half a joke in his voice, "You aren't replacing me, are you now, Jay?" Hot, filthy love blooms in Jared's chest so fast he can't even control it. He hides his face, feeling how warm it is, how his neck suddenly feels hot damp under the collar of his button-down. "Been trying since the day I fucking met you," he grins, kicking at Jensen until he falls over.
"I've been thinking about what you said," Jensen says. His voice is quiet and almost slips underneath the radio and the whistle of Jensen's Subaru back window. Jensen, so in the zone, calm and distantly contemplating some obscure but awesome future, that he almost misses it.
"What'd I say?" he asks, distracted, eyes in the line of cars at a Starbucks drive-thru.
"About telling my parents," Jensen says.
Jared blinks and turns to look at him. Jensen doesn't look back, flips his eyes to the rear view and then the side mirror and then back to the road. They hit a red light and Jared waits, but Jensen still doesn't look at him. He starts humming along the strained edges of a Johnny Cash song and tapping his fingers on the steering wheel. He squints out the windshield like he's trying to read a bumper sticker.
"That's pretty big, Jen," Jared says slowly.
"Hmm? Yeah, well.
Well, it's good. You know, I'm like here if you need to talk about it or anything."
"Thanks, man."
"Hey, you finished that book yet?"
"Yeah, it was great. Jack London is great. You'd like him. Always reminds me of that time we went camping last fall," Jared says, and goes back to staring at the window as the light changes. He contemplates the horizon, trying to figure out Jensen, and trying to figure out why any of this matters.
You're a Real Fucking Page-Turner, Part 2. Jensen sleeps with Mark at Kane's party on Friday night. They meet outside Jared's house and Steve picks them up. Jared sits in the front and Steve talks shit about Chad until Jared's laughing himself sick. Jensen kicks the back of Jared's chair and complains about being left out. At a light, Steen leans over and kisses Jared's hair. Jensen throws himself between the seats and jokes at pummeling him bloody. Ducked from view, Steve shoots a look to Jared and smirks. Jared hides too, grinning back silently. Tonight is going to be awesome. Jared's drunk in less than an hour. In less than two, he gets barreled into the murky-coloured, leaf-littered pool by Chris, changes upstairs into the last few clean remnants of Chris's wardrobe. When he and Jensen find each other, Jensen's drunk, and his eyes light on the red plaid flannel and grey sweatpants with amusement. He tugs at the two long sleeves, mock checking a watch that isn't there and teasing, "Kane had his wicked way with you already? You're easy, man." "Fuck off," Jared gripes, shoving at him. Feels ballsy and drunk off his ass as he says, "You damn well better know there ain't no one else gonna get his wicked way with me." Jensen coughs a surprised laugh, grinning ear to ear. "Attaboy," he says, giving a lingering squeeze to Jared's shoulder. And Jared doesn't hide it when he feels that surge of hope rising, wondering, is this gonna happen tonight? Jensen just smiles at him, eyes twinkling and sloppy bright. "Got a book for you," he says, elbowing back through the crowd. "We'll get it later, okay?" Later is awesome, Jared thinks, standing there grinning dumbly. He throws darts with Chad in the garage until he has to close one eye to see the board. After that, he scoots himself up onto the workbench to watch and smile and laugh with Chris over how ridiculous he must look in hillbilly pajamas.
You good? Chris asks, bumping shoulders with him and taking a swig from his red cup. Hell yeah, I'm good, Jared laughs. Why wouldn't I be? When he turns to Chris, Jared doesn't expect the careful set to his mouth or the flicker of concern in his eyes. Jared feels the way his face falls into a confused heap, trying to figure out how Chris went from oversized sweats to, hey Jared, something's wrong, maybe. Dude, what's going on? Are you all right? I'm fine, Jay, don't worry about it. Was just wondering, since you look like a right fucking dweeb. Jared frowns, shrugging, studies Chris for another moment, distrustful of the way he just slid so easily back to buzzing humor. They're quiet after that, and Jared drinks in silence, and Chris stays next to him, leaning their shoulders together a while before getting up to refill his cup. Steve finds him after that, slapping him on the back and laughing, playfully tugging on the tails of Jared's shirt. He swipes Jared's cup and drains the rest of it, asking if Jared's ready to head home. Man, what the hell time is it? Jared asks, looking around himself and seeing the crowd has dwindled to a few cars out front and Mike Rosenbaum leaning Katie Cassidy up against the meat fridge. It's almost 3, Steve says, tugging Jared down off the bench and steadying him with a hand to his shoulder. Surprised you haven't passed out yet. You're usually out way earlier than this. Was having fun, Jared grins, letting his head loll on Steve's shoulder. I know you are, Jay. Want me to find Jensen? He asks, then. Just hearing the name come out his mouth, he feels his body flush. And in this particular moment, he doesn't care who notices. He is drunk and loves Jensen, and is absolutely not going home without him. Jensen's, Steve says, well, Jensen's staying. He's staying. So we're staying? Steve laughs, and it's a pained, sad sound. He stops moving and pulls Jared to look at him. Jay, man, you know I love you, but Jensen's staying. Man, I gotta take you home, all right? You can't stay here. Jared frowns, pulls at his bottom lip in contemplation. This would be easier if he weren't 3 sheets to the wind. He knows what it means. It's just getting past the disbelief that's taking him a few minutes. But he, Jared starts, and then stares at Steve, lost. He said he had a book for me. Steve clenches his jaw shut tight, eyes hard and unforgiving as he stares into the middle distance somewhere between them. When he finally looks at Jared again, he's soft and apologetic, running an affectionate hand through Jared's hair. I know, man, he says quietly. You'll get it tomorrow. Okay? Jared nods and lets Steve hug him, but he's distracted by the big pit of nothing taking up all the space in his chest. Outside, he tells Steve he's going to walk home, but Steve just shoves at the side of his head and barks, "Get in the car, asshole!" Saturday is torture. Jared wakes up hungover and devastated, and stays that way until Sunday night. He lies in bed and doesn't read, doesn't watch television, doesn't do homework or play video games. His mom stops in a few times to ask if he's all right. He assures her everything is fine up to late at Chris's house. She shakes her head, admonishing, and for the rest of the weekend just steers Megan away and comments on the acrid stench of his room. He burns through his homework on Sunday night in a half-assed way and dreads the morning to come. He hasn't decided what to do or say. He wants to blow off Jensen in the morning, catch another ride to school, and commence avoiding him as much as possible for the foreseeable future. Another part of him is sick of that game, is too old for it, too tired for it, convinces himself that the only thing to do here is to have the conversation with Jensen he's been dreading since they met. Jared has to start telling the truth. There is no question. It's become too painful of a situation to avoid, brush off, or lie about. Jared does not want to do it. On Monday morning, he gets in the car, still uncertain of what to do. He's quiet and immediately notices Jensen's silence as well. Great. This is great. They get to school without either of them saying anything. Jensen's hair is neon green and his eyebrow ring is gone. Jared doesn't say anything about it, too focused on gripping his bag with both hands and trying not to spontaneously blow apart. They open their lockers without a word, and the silence is beyond awkward, closer to painful. "See you at lunch," Jensen says, hesitating for a long moment before he walks away. "Sure," Jared says, not looking up. When Jensen's gone, Jared replaces short, choppy breaths with long, deep, calming ones. He wills himself to focus and heads to his first class. Just the walk to get there seems to take too long. Once seated, he steps out of focus completely and doesn't come back until the bell rings. Blinking, he finds his teacher, Mr. Morgan, standing over him. "You all right, Jared?" he asks, a concern set to his mouth. "Yeah," Jared says, gathering his stuff. I'm fine. Sorry, I was so out of it. I'll get the notes from Mr. Morgan friends. You sure you're not sick or anything? You want me to write you a pass to see the nurse?" "Just didn't get a lot of sleep," Jared says with an edge, already sick of being pried at. "I'll be better tomorrow, I promise." He leaves quickly, without glancing back. He likes Mr. Morgan, but right now he burns with humiliation and a fine sheen of anger. He shoves his way through the halls, agitated and rougher than necessary, rolling his eyes when he hears a high, annoyed, "Hey!" yelled at his back. By the time the lunch bell rings, Jared's had two other teachers checking in with him, and Mr. Singer had actually written him a pass and dropped it on his desk, unflinching when Jared practically bared his teeth at him in annoyance. Jared had left it on the desk, storming out, ears on fire. Jared doesn't want to see anyone right now. Is pulled so tight, stretched so thin, he can't even think, let alone pretend to be okay or fake a decent conversation. Rounding the corner to his locker, he sees Jensen already there, and remembers with an irrational amount of annoyance that he agreed to lunch. "Hey, man," Jensen greets. "Got you this. Sorry I didn't give it to you the other night." Jared looks up to find Jensen smiling at him tentatively, brandishing a book. It's a busted-up copy of Great Expectations, likely stolen from the school library. And Jared's so struck with disbelief by the brazen statement that he would laugh if he thought for a second that Jensen had ever read it. He finds himself shaking his head, the lie out before he even has time to think it. "I already have that. My mom picked up some stuff while they were away the other weekend." Jensen blinks, a second's hesitation delaying his response. "Oh," he says, holds the book for another moment before slowly putting it back into his backpack with a frown. Swallowing hard, face hidden in his locker, Jared abandons his books with a rough drop and then busies himself rearranging its contents to no discernible end. He's waiting for Jensen to say something else, or waiting for him to walk away, so Jared can finally let this breath out and slam his head to the metal with an echo that hits the swinging hallway doors. But Jensen waits, and Jared grows impatient and angry, finally swings his locker closed and doesn't meet Jensen's eyes as he turns to leave. "I know I said I'd do lunch," Jared says to the floor, "but I think I'm just going to go to Open Campus, get some shit done so I don't have to do it at home." "I'll come with," Jensen says. "I haven't studied in, like, months, I think." Jared pauses. "You know, I think Kane said he was looking for you, wanted to talk about some plans for next weekend or something." "Quit trying to get rid of me, Petalecki," Jensen says roughly, trying for a smile. Jared means to respond, but feels it when his face only pulls something like a wince. He looks away, stomach churning, when Jensen throws a casual arm around his shoulder and shoves him into motion. It's one flight down, but takes too long. Jared finds himself gritting his teeth, silent, while Jensen tips his chin to Kyle, and then full-on stops to Loker about maybe meeting up later this week. Standing there, tense, fidgety, held to Jensen's side, Jared thinks crazy things while he tries not to stare down Loker. He wants to put his fist through Loker's face, wants to snap and yell, "Fuck you both," wants to say, "Can't you see you're killing me with this?" He immediately wants to be home in bed with a book. He wants to quit school and live in his parents' attic, rereading the same books again and again and spending the rest of his time asleep. He wants to take a bat to the headlights of the Subaru and the curly mop of Loker's hair. His fingers fold into fists and his jaw aches with unspoken slurs. So heated through with this fight-or-flight malarkey, he thinks he's broken a sweat. In the space of 30 seconds, jealousy has made him insane. Jared is a breath from telling Jensen, words balled up in a wad in the back of his throat, either "fuck off and die" or "hey, I'll catch you later." He's still deciding when Jensen grins and nods at Loker, telling him, "maybe next weekend." Gently prodded into motion again, Jared falls into step beside Jensen and is dumbfounded with how crazy he just went. Jensen's arm hasn't left his shoulders despite the way they've surely tightened, laced up like raw red meat to be roasted, and Jared hates himself for not having moved yet. Jared concedes warily, so tucked to Jensen's warm ribs that he has no strength on this one. However guarded and angry, wanting so feebly to protect himself. There is nothing on this planet that could make Jared shove off the electricity and the heat lying heavy over his neck and crackling like some unstable atmosphere. Terribly, he resigns to taking what he can get. Then Jensen says, "Hey, so, sorry we didn't end up meeting up after the party. I got distracted." So bottled up, so clenched and tightened, Jared bursts into laughter. Anger drowns him, incredulous and hostile. He ducks out of Jared's hold, shaking his head and moving faster, for once unashamed to admit something to himself. He needs to get away from this now. "What?" Jensen asks warily, already sounding a country mile behind him. "Hey, hold up! Man," he says, laughing derisively, "I cannot tell if you're dumb or just fucking with me." Jared feels the fingers on his wrists riveted to that touch too long, because Jensen uses the fraction of a second to jerk him around, rough and messy, so that they're staring at each other. Jensen looks blindsided, and Jared snaps. He feels it. Whatever length of cord that has kept his feelings and sanity intact has just broken. its content spilling into his blood and making him crazy. "Get the fuck off me," he snaps, ripping his arm from Jensen's hold.
"Dude," Jensen breathes. "Hold on, what? Seriously, what just happened?"
"Nothing." "Don't do that, Jay. Don't shut me out." For a long, hysterical moment, Jared is incensed at any notion of Jensen telling him what to do. Being demanding, acting as if Jared owes him something. Teeth gritted, he glares at Jensen, openly hostile. At the widening eyes and open palms Jensen gives, Jared steps backwards and realizes he does owe Jensen something. He deserves to be held accountable. He is acting like a crazy person and messing with their friendship. "Man, did you ever fuck up?" he says finally on an outward breath. "Okay, I tried not to let it get to me, but it did. You fucked up when you kissed me, okay? And I don't mean at the bonfire." Jensen pulls back at that, dropping his gaze and tucking his shoulders in against the memory. The weight of the pause is significant, and Jared fills time by fighting off the twitches and chills of shame that come from regretting an action so completely. He wishes fiercely now that the kiss never happened, that he'd had a backbone intact enough to say no. As dream come true as it was, nothing is worth this feeling. Nothing is worth the fear of what Jensen might say. "I know," Jensen says after a pause. "I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have let you. Hey, you're not... Holy shit, you... Dude, this is about Mark, isn't it?" "No," Jared says. He looks at the floor before he realizes he's done it. "You thought we... like, you and me." "Clearly, I thought wrong. I should have said," Jensen says. "I don't know what I was thinking." "I really don't get you. If it's selfish or what. But Jensen, you do shit like that. And what am I supposed to think? How am I even supposed to look at anyone else? Seriously, man, all the time, I'm good with being just friends. Really, I get that you're not looking for anything serious. But when we fucking make out, okay? And I'm not anymore, okay? I'm not. I can't do this." Jensen stares at him, uncomprehending, on some sort of delay or shifting through some feedback bouncing off Jared's words. Finally, he shakes his head and says, "Jay, are you serious with this? You can't do what anymore? I've done nothing but fucking kiss your ass the entire time we've been friends. I'm always the one to apologize, always the one to say I'm sorry and try to make it right. And I never fucking call you on any of your shit, so don't even be telling me you can't do this. I bust my ass to keep your friendship, alright? And it's not my fucking fault if you can't be real with me. Call me on my shit. What the fuck do you call dragging me out to some bullshit festival to sleep in the mud with weirdos? Or disappearing for like days without telling me where you went? Sucking face in front of all our stupid friends and then fucking some nobody in Kane's basement thinking it's fine. You're the worst friend I ever had. I swear to God, Jensen, sometimes you what?" Jensen says, deathly quiet. "Sometimes you fucking what, Jared?" Jared clenches his jaw, breathless, feeling suddenly that his palms burn with a cut of fingernails clutched into them, and his face is hot, incensed, toxic. He is vibrating right off this plane and onto some other one, where he is taking no responsibility for the things he says and does. He tries hard not to say it, tries desperately to swallow it. Anger wins, and it comes out, a vicious, dirty kick. "Sometimes I hate you." "Wow," Jensen breathes out, sullying it with a disbelieving laugh. Wow, okay. So why are we even bothering?
You're right, Jared says. Let's not.
Shaking, he turns and leaves Jensen in the hallway. Goes back upstairs to his locker to grab his coat, sling on his backpack, and slam out the side door that leads around the track and out the rear entrance of the school. Fuck school. Fuck his classes, fuck his friends, and fuck Jensen. Jared walks home alone, insides quaking with every rot of emotion possible collecting at the bottom of his stomach. The longer he walks, the greater detail he uses in replaying the argument, and he slowly becomes more and more horrified with how it had ended. He keeps hands jammed in his pockets and stares at the cement, trying to quell the sudden panic that he and Jensen and any bond between them is broken. Jared wipes his eyes and nose against the winter wind burn that tightens his skin. He hadn't said anything he wanted to say, hadn't said anything he should have said. Succeeded only in saying a bunch of things that never ever should have seen the light of day. Infuriatingly, he hates himself. When he shoves through the whining back door into the kitchen, his mother is there, blinking up at him in surprise.
You're home early, she says. Everything all right? How was school?
Jared bites his lips, doesn't hesitate as he crosses the kitchen and puts his arms around her, hiding his cold face in her shoulder. She hisses, but holds on tight, smoothing down his back in a nervous flutter, asking what's wrong. He shakes his head silent, angry at the burn of tears starting. Oh, baby, she says. Boy stuff. He nods and she pauses, asks carefully against his temple. Jensen stuff. Jared nods again, helpless. He's never told her about him, but she's met Jensen and has seen them together, and she knows how Jared gets when they fight. He knows his mom isn't blind.
I was just going to get Megan, did you? Oh, JT, oh God, honey, I'm sorry.
He looks at the floor when she wipes his face with her own hands. She forces him to look up when she's done, and he can feel how tight he holds his lip to keep from crumbling. She smiles sadly at him and hugs him again.
My goodness, Jared Tristan, she whispers. You are the most beautiful boy a mother could ask for. It'll work out, okay? Give it time. It'll ease up long enough to figure something out.
Why don't you go up and sleep some of it off?
Thanks, Mum, he says, staring at the floor. Sorry I
couldn't school. It was just, like, too hard. Freaked out.
Sounds like you got plenty enough to think about without having to go to stats on top of it all, huh? She offers.
I'm going to pick up Megan and drop her at Colleen's for a bit. How about you and I have dinner? Jared hugs her again, nodding fiercely against her shoulder, and promising to sleep some. Upstairs, his room is dark with winter grey and sunless skies and pulled blinds. The best he can do is quiet his mind to one single thought. Lying there, still fully dressed and wrapped in his comforter, he keeps hearing himself say, "Sometimes I hate you." Chad picks him up on Tuesday morning and wisely declines to comment on Jared's silence, wrinkled jeans, and messy hair.
Jensen home sick today or something? Chad asks, half his attention on skipping through CD tracks and the other half on negotiating the two-lane route to school at 60 miles an hour.
Maybe, Jared says. Listen, do you mind, like, picking me up for the rest of the week? I could walk or ask my mom or something, but... Jared flips him a look, and it is instantly clear Chad is aware of the severity of the situation.
Dude, what the fuck happened? I'll give you gas money, Jared says quickly. He fuck you over like I said he was gonna. Now's not a good time for I told you so, you dick. Can you drive me or not?
Yeah, Jared, of course, man. You don't need to ask.
But seriously, first chance I get, I'ma kill that fucker. The rest of the conversation requires no input from Jared. He thinks about arguing and defending Jensen. Thinks about giving in to the overwhelming urge to bash the shit out of him right along with Chad. But he knuckles down his impulses and just lets Chad's mouth run, offering nothing at all and steeling himself to simple impassivity. Chad's protective anger is a comfort, if nothing else. As soon as Jared's foot hits white concrete, the beep of Chad's automatic lock sounding behind them, Jared is filled with dread. He looks around, trying simultaneously to hide and to spot Jensen. His eyes land on the familiar Subaru, backed into its same old spot, and he feels the plummet of his stomach, anticipating the worst for today. Crossing the parking lot is terrifying. He is positive he is going to run into Jensen here between the banged up bumpers and faded white paint of numbered spaces. Then, as soon as Chad breaks away from first year lockers, Jared is sure it's going to be here in the hallway, and he tenses. Then he swings through the hallway doors and he feels nauseous, because as soon as he rounds that corner, Jensen is going to be at their lockers, ready to rip at this wound all over again, just by existing. Jensen isn't there. Jared is tense, trembling, and moves so fast he fumbles his lock, but Jensen doesn't sidle up beside him. Even as he slams his locker closed and heads towards his first class, Jared doesn't feel relief. The panic prolongs itself, stretching languorously, in no rush to go anywhere. Jared's heart is covered in its heavy width and beats wildly, trying to buck it off. By lunch, Jared has taken no notes, turned in no assignments, collected 2 passes to see the nurse, and has not calmed down. He has not seen Jensen once, and the anticipation has brought on dry mouth, palpitations, and a bucket of vomit ready to slosh over at a moment's notice. It's going to happen now. It has to happen now. He's going to stop at his locker and see Jensen. Jensen's going to be furious or disgusted or hurt or completely silent, and Jared's not going to know how to even be in his presence. The roil of it mixes Jared into someone he doesn't even recognize anymore. Someone crazy and heartsick, desperate, furious, immobilized by indecision. Jensen isn't there, and he isn't at lunch, and Jared doesn't see him for the entire rest of the day. The moment of truth does not happen. He spent this energy stealing himself for nothing. He goes home exhausted, upset, annoyed, and confused. This continues through the rest of the week. On Thursday afternoon, he breaks, pulls Steve to the side after lunch and asks hopefully, "Do you know where he is?" "He's around," Steve says, avoiding me. "What'd he say?"
"Don't know. He talks to Kane, not me." "Jared, what the fuck happened? Do I even want to know?"
We fought. I said some stupid shit, and like, I didn't mean to, but I also don't really want to take it back. And I feel like, even if I take it back, maybe nothing will be different. Maybe we still, like, can't be friends anymore. I'm kind of fucked up."
"Hey," Steve says, shoulder checking him. "We all say stupid shit, okay? And that guy's done plenty that probably needs fixing. Maybe you guys just need to stay away from each other for a while. Things will be all right, eventually. You and Jen are tight."
"Steve, man," Jared says carefully, staring ahead of them and feeling sicker with every word. "I don't want to be friends anymore." Steve is quiet for a long time, shaking his head
and looking down the hallway to the same blank spot Jared's fixed on. They stand there, quiet, and Jared feels comfort and loneliness in equal waves. He wants Steve to hug him. He wants to go home and be alone with this awful truth. I know, Steve finally says, and fuck if I'm just a dumbass hick, but I'm pretty sure Jensen don't want to be friends either. Don't. Please don't. I know you want to help, but that's not helping. I'll talk to Kane, see what's going on. Come find me if you need a ride home today. Jared flexes his fingers where they stiffly grip at his literature notebook. Steve leaves him there outside the lunchroom, caught up with the intolerable task of punching down every last errant thought that he has that strays towards considering Steve's words. Instead, he thinks miserably, this can't be fixed. It's Sunday. Jared's on the front porch hammering nails into loose boards, looks up when he hears someone close by laying on their horn, and sees Jensen tearing down the street, running hard as he can. Jared frowns, thinking a thousand things, before scrambling up and jumping the last three steps and going to meet him on the sidewalk. When Jensen gets close enough, Jared can see the red of his face, the pained line set deep into his forehead, and finally, the way his eyes break when they lock on Jared standing there, waiting for him. His mouth opens on a wordless, crippled sound the second Jared opens his arms and catches him. The force of the motion knocks Jared backward, and he holds on, shocked and confused and terrified at how tightly Jensen clings to him, how hard his chest pounds against his, exerted and exhausted, and Jared realizes he must have run all the way from his house. Holy shit, Jared says softly, holding on. He tightens up, worried when Jensen doesn't pull away, stares down the street with Jensen's mouth on his shoulder, with Jensen's ear in his hair. He swipes a hand between Jensen's shoulder blades, looking for any moment Jensen might be okay to stand alone. I told him, Jensen says finally. Fuck, Jay. Jared's heart drops, and he understands now, and crushes Jensen to him in earnest. Fists, hands, and the back of his shirt, turns his cheek to Jensen's temple, and hugs him for real. This is real. This is a real thing Jensen feels and thinks, and a real thing his family is reacting to. This is not some abstract idea Jared's put together in his brain based on observation and circumstantial evidence. Jensen likes boys, and his parents did not take it well. Jensen waits outside while Jared talks to his mom. She studies her son carefully, making him uncomfortable in the way only a mother can. It takes all of his strength to keep his gaze steady and not drop it to the floor with embarrassment. You know he's welcome for a couple of days, long as he sleeps on the couch, she agrees finally. But I need to know he's planning on talking to them again, and that it's okay with you. Are you going to be okay with this? Jared opens his mouth, instinctively defensive, but stops. They're fair questions. I have to be, Mum. It's pretty much my only chance to fix it. You said it would work itself out, right? It's not entirely perfect, but if there's a time, then this is probably it, right? Probably, she grants with a small smile. I'll set up the couch for him, okay? You just talk to him and make sure he's not planning on running away. He's got to call his parents and tell them he's here right now. And then he's got 3 days before I'm sending him home. You got it? Jared hugs her, so fucking grateful, and after a second lifts her off her feet and swings her around. She yells and hits him. She hates when he does that.
Jared puts her down and grins at her scowl, then goes outside to get Jensen. It's awkward sharing a living space with Jensen after making the decision to never talk to him again. He can see Jensen trying to keep to himself and out of the way at first, painfully shy and quiet, polite as all get out and doing his best he can to clean up after himself. Jared sits in his room, uncomfortably aware of Jensen's presence and allowing the situation to grow more complex by the second. It's when he slinks to the bathroom to hide in the shower that he feels the tension evaporate abruptly. There are green flecks of colour dotting the white porcelain of the tub. Suddenly, fiercely, overwhelmingly, Jared is filled with affection. This is Jensen, and Jensen is his very best friend. And sometimes he has green hair, and when he rinses it, it gets all over the bathroom. Jensen's red toothbrush is on the sink counter, bristles damp. His shoes and backpack are downstairs, on the floor, in the kitchen, next to Jared's shoes and backpack. Jared finds himself wondering why the house feels so small. They have built this friendship by sharing small, uncomfortable spaces. Jared's room and Jensen's car. A heart, a brain, and a sense of humor. It's always been a tight fit. He realizes that they have to talk about this now, tonight, before school tomorrow morning, when Jensen's hovering at the Subaru, waiting to find out whether Jared will get in. Returning to his room briefly to pull on socks and a clean t-shirt, Jared makes his way downstairs. He moves carefully, trying not to creak on the hardwood, and pausing soon as he's far enough down to see the couch. Jensen's there, legs folded, reading his biology book. There's no question he's heard Jared on the stairs, but he doesn't look up, trying to fold himself small over the text and pretend he's not there. Jared regrets how horribly uncomfortable he looks. Then, stuck on stupid, Jared can't look away from Jensen. His hair is soft and damp, bristly at the back of his neck and spiked from being scrubbed over with Meg's Disney princess towel, which Jared had seen drying over the bathroom door. Jensen's hair is wet dark and, more importantly, brown. Clean, natural, and free from any eye-catching fib of a colour. He's him. He's Jensen in a way Jared hasn't seen him for years. When Jensen looks up, Jared is unavoidably caught. He looks around, suddenly bashful, before sliding down the rest of the steps and around to the front of the couch. "Hey," Jared says tentatively, "we should probably talk or something." "Sure." Jared gestures to the kitchen, back porch, and Jensen nods, but for several long seconds holds onto his book, unmoving. They stare at one another for a tense second, before Jensen finally shakes himself and gets up. Jensen nicks their jackets from a chair, throws Jensen's boots at him, and opens the front door. Outside, the air makes clouds out of their hot breath, and their shoelaces get caught under their thick-soled boots. Black clouds drift in a black sky, moving swiftly over the moon and disappearing down southward. "So why'd you come here?" Jared asks, to break the silence. Jensen laughs, looking over the yard to the empty street. "I don't know, really. First place that popped into my head. Wasn't thinking too clearly, I guess." "It's okay that you did. It's good for you. I'm glad you made it through that. And that you felt like you could come here." "I'm sorry, I just showed up for no reason. I know we're not in a great spot, but you're still the one person I trust. I mean, I trust you." Jared looks up,
staring at the dim profile of Jensen, who keeps his face turned away. Jensen shifts weight from one foot to the other, stiff and uncomfortable, looking for all the world like he's closed himself off. Jared knows better. He can feel Jensen's attention riveted to him and tries to make the best of it. "I didn't mean it," he blurts out, "when I said I hate you." "I know," Jensen says, shoving fists into his jacket pockets and not making eye contact. "Doesn't mean it suck less." "I'm sorry. You make me so fucking mad sometimes. I don't even know what to do with myself. I can't even deal with it. It's on me, though. I think I expect way more from you than I have any right to. Like the thing about Mark." Jared drops his head, some spider of guilt spreading out from his chest. "Yeah, man. I seriously let it get me. But also, I realized we fuck around with it a lot, make a joke of it. But I fucking hate seeing you with anyone else. And I sort of thought, I don't know, after that night in my room, you were being different with me. Maybe I was just seeing what I wanted to see." Jensen's looking at him now, sharp and intense, hips tilted away and ready to bolt if need be, but present and alert and burying Jared with a penetrating gaze. "Sometimes, Jay, when you're with Steve, I lose my shit. Like, for real. For no reason. He's an awesome guy, and it's none of my business. But just knowing you're close to him, however, that if I wasn't here, you'd be fine. Because you'd have him. When, like, if you weren't here, I go out of my mind. And sometimes he's handsy, touches you. Not, like, a lot, but, yeah, sometimes." Disbelief momentarily pushes Jared out of the conversation. Steve. Jensen thinks Steve Carlson is his competition. Jared would laugh if he could get past the fact that Jensen gets so hideously possessive. It pings Jared's irritation, something fierce. "How do you think I feel watching you tongue-fuck Kyle, the art stud? Or when you ditch me to go hug up with Curtis in some food market bathroom or something? Dude, I know we're not like that or anything, but fuck. I was going to put my fist through Loker's face the other day." "Jay, honestly, I never thought in a million years any of that mattered to you. Why would I? You never said anything. I know." "You're totally into me," Jensen says softly, and then grins, turning fully to face Jared. For a moment, pure terror cuts through the cold and pulls at Jared. They've been talking circles around it, but yes, that's what Jared has been saying, and fuck if it doesn't sound like the scariest thing ever conceived coming out of Jensen's mouth. Predatory. Knowing. Like Jensen just won something. "Jesus, Jensen, yes, fine, all right. But I'm trying to say, you don't just get to have it all, okay? You can't have all of me, have me around, feeling what I feel, not letting me get close to anyone else, and then going off on your hookups or whatever. It sucks. And I hate it. You gotta back off me. I need some space to get over this shit." "Aren't you gonna ask me why I told my parents?" Jared frowns, searching for the link between one conversation and the next, asks, "What? Okay, why?" "Because I had a reason to." "Okay, and?" "It was you, you idiot. I don't know what or how or why, but finding you made every fucking difference. I felt awful, like the worst, and then completely panicked. I decided not to mess around anymore, like I've been doing. It's not worth how mad it makes you and how bad it fucks us up. So, hopefully we can be friends, okay?" Jensen's voice is soft by the end of it. He stares at Jared openly, confident in being measured, sure this time he's got it right. Jared doesn't know what to start agreeing to or how much time he should spend trying to figure out all that Jensen is saying. He shakes his head, gleam of amazement wetting his eyes, and Jensen's done it again. He always, always does the right thing. Jared nods slowly, humming his agreement. Friends is a good rock to stand on, for now. He couldn't deny Jensen after promising Jared everything he could have asked for, and also the moon, falling short only of swooping Jared into his grasp and laying one on him. Pulses firing crazy with relief, Jared crosses the porch and pulls at Jensen, tugs him into a hug, crushes him close. Jensen is breathing hard against him and hugs back. Jared thinks with all of his might and pushes it onto Jensen. The promise that all is not lost, not even a little, not even close. The next morning, Jensen grins at him over the hood of the Subaru, and Jared grins back, and something about their bond has gone so deep and wordless that Jared's brain and heart and skin are humming with it, all thought and weight and feeling leaning toward Jensen across the console as they drive. Jensen won't stop shooting glances at him, whether to make sure he's still there, make sure he's not pissed, or to just look at him because he wants to. It makes Jared's stomach tie knots into complicated replicas of his heart. They eat lunch with their friends and sit next to each other, elbows brushing. And Jensen steals Jared's pickle, and they all stare at him like he's gone crazy. And Jared has absolutely gone crazy. To believe in this, to let himself feel this, to subject himself to the endless beam of Jensen's affection and bury the fear of being let down, he is crazy. But, he reasons, if he's going to believe in anything, it's going to be Jensen. Jensen will always be worth the risk. Chris asks if they feel like getting together for the weekend, and Jared opens his mouth, but Jensen answers first. Says, probably not. Might feel like doing a whole lot of nothing this weekend. Unless you want to go, Jay. Jared sits there, dumbfounded, staring at Chris, who stares back at him, eyebrows raised in a question that has no answer. Jared can feel their dynamics have changed in a way it must feel to leap out of a plane. When he looks at Jensen, Jensen is looking back at him, having turned awkward and hesitant in the silence. He drops his eyes and looks to his sandwich, trying to gather it into a presentable handful. You know what? He says slowly, unable to take his eyes off Jensen. I think I'm good. Maybe another time. After finals, you think? Give us something to celebrate? Dude, that's like in a month, Chad protests, throwing a handful of fries at Jared. Jensen doesn't look up from his sandwich, but a slow smile spreads across his face, and that's plenty enough to get Jared's heart racing all over again. He grins, eating Chad's fries off the table and catching eyes with Steve, who is sitting back in his chair, arms crossed, looking terribly satisfied with the whole thing. At home, Jared drops his stuff in the kitchen and heads for the stairs before pausing and turning back. Jensen's there, hesitating, burying himself with digging through his backpack for notes and assignments and texts. Biting at his lip, Jared asks, "Do you, want to come up?" Jensen jumps at the question, looking up from his bag to briefly make eye contact with Jared before dropping it again. "Yeah, sure," he says carefully. "I'll do some homework." "Give me that book," Jared says. "Huh? What book?" "Great Expectations. You still have it?" "Yeah, but I thought you already had it." "I lied. Give it to me." Jensen is confused for a moment, blinking slowly. Then he smirks up at Jared, sending chills up and down his forearms.
digs out the paperback and hands it over before following Jared up to his room. They do homework for half an hour before it dissolves into switching out CDs, trading stories about bad classes, and arguing whether Chad even likes him or just hangs around them by proxy. Jared finds a space for his new book on the shelves and can't resist sinking down in front of it, tilting his head to read the spines he's already memorized and trying to keep track of an endless list of books that have yet to be added. After a moment, Jensen sits down next to him, knees nearly touching, pulled up off the cold hardwood floor as he studies the shelves intently. "You put all these here," Jared says after a moment.
"Yeah," Jensen laughs awkwardly, rubbing at an ear. "Kinda dumb, huh?"
Jared swallows, feels sick at how unbelievably wrong Jensen is, and nearly stumbles over himself at how insistent he is on fixing that. "Jen, you don't even know. This is probably the nicest thing anyone's ever done for me. Just the fact you know it's important, you know? And man, every time you give me a book, I want to kill you, because it means so much. Too much, really, probably." He feels the palm hot on his thigh, a second before Jensen's up and over him, on him, kissing him, pushing him to the floor, taking every breath of air from Jared's chest and making it his. Jared gasps, helpless and overwhelmed, instantly gone tight and hot beneath the press of Jensen's body and the hungry, insistent quest of his mouth. Jared's back to that second first kiss in his room, pulled apart with burning heat and the memory of how good this was last time, how right it was, and how it answered every question Jared's body had ever asked, and how Jensen had looked at him then and touched his hair and hadn't wanted it to stop. They've been waiting for this since then. And Jared is so lightheaded and full of straight-up joy he could pass out with it. Jensen's got knees bracketing Jared's hips and two hands in Jared's hair and a tongue in Jared's mouth dragging so slow and hot that Jared's thighs tighten. That pulse of desire starts soon as he tilts his head and hears Jensen groan against his mouth, soft and aching sounds of need. Hips hitching while they hover over Jared's body, careful to maintain some form of distance. Jared turns his head, breathless, and arcs when Jensen's mouth hits his neck and keeps going, sucking gently, making Jared's toes curl.
"Space!" Jared gasps out. "This isn't space! This is the exact opposite of space!"
Jensen lets his weight drop, body pressing hard and rolling against Jared. Jared tips his head back and tries to tamp down the cry that rips at his throat. Jensen's groin presses against his, and Jared's legs spread all on their own, letting him in close and pushing back up into him.
"This," Jensen breathes against Jared's neck, "is the exact opposite of space."
"Fuck, Jensen, I can't... You gotta stop doing this to me, okay? Friends. I don't want to be your friend, okay? I want to build a fucking bookcase with you." Jared's heart stops. His fingers tighten in Jensen's t-shirt, hips halting in their endless rushing for heat and pressure. In this exact moment, he realizes... He loves Jensen so much it can't even be real, can't begin to have a name. He takes Jensen's face in his hands, can't even look at him right now, just closes his eyes tight and kisses hard, desperately, consumed with it. Jensen kisses back, wide open, letting everything in, pulling back to gasp and push his face into Jared's hair, lay his mouth there and beg 100 times for it to be okay. They tremble against one another, and Jared feels huge and terrified and right
He wraps his arms around Jensen's neck and holds on, and thinks about night drives to steal wood scraps from industrial parks, and commandeering Kane's garage to lay it out, and getting the concrete messed up with oak staining. He thinks about spending a summer with Jensen trailing in and out of second-hand bookshops, picking out Frankenstein or Fear and Loathing, and then pressing him to the stacks, kissing his mouth and smelling old pages. I think I should go home, Jensen says, lips brushing Jared's ear. Not now, but like today. To talk to them, see how it's going. I could come with you. Jensen picks his head up, searches Jared's face intensely, studying his eyes with all the caution of touching fingers to a hot doorknob. Testing. The concentration breaks, eventually, giving way to some measure of disbelief. You'd do that? Yeah, Jen. Anything. Just tell me. Okay, Jensen says, and smiles slow enough that Jared can feel his whole chest unzipping, spilling everything out in a hot slosh of pleasure. Jared holds Jensen, and he can't even think. They're going to talk to Jensen's parents, and they're going to build a bookcase, and they're going to hang out with their friends, but not for a month, because they're together. And all Jared ever had to do was ask.
I go to school and I write exams. And if I pass, if I fail, if I drop out, does anyone give a damn? And if they do, they'll soon forget, cause it won't take much for me to show my life ain't over yet. And I wake up scared, and I wake up strange, and I wake up wondering if anything in my life has ever gone to change. And I wake up scared, and I wake up strange, and everything around me it stays the same. From your hair, this song is the cross that I bear. Bear with me, be with me tonight.
Be with me tonight.
Cause I know. Chickened out, grabbed a pen and a paper, sat down and I wrote this song. I couldn't tell you were right, so instead I looked in the mirror. I watched TV, lay awake all night. We got these chains hanging around our necks. People want to strangle us with them before we take our first breath. Afraid of change, afraid of staying the same. Where temptation calls your name is a hair shirt I wear. And this hair shirt is woven from, it's woven from your brown hair. This song is called, this is the cross, this is the cross. What a smart boy, what a strong boy. When you were born, they looked at you and said,
What a smart girl. What a pretty girl.